Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech. Today, Mark Zuckerberg faces the Senate, Uber is expanding, and Infinity Wars is coming soon. Hey, let's open it up.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live's Geek Nerd Tech.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Black Hollywood Live. This is Geek Nerd Tech, GNT, the show where we break down tech news, geek and nerd culture from a black and brown perspective. I am Akili Shine, your host. And as always, I'm very appreciative of all of you out there tuning in, listening in, watching, and getting down with your boy. I'm riding solo today, but we have a lot of great things to cover and tackle. So I say we just jump right in and get into it. First off, Mark Zuckerberg. We all know that, hey, his big day was yesterday where he faced the Senate. And we know that 87 million profiles were collected by a political data mining firm called Cambridge Analytica. And so because of that, the U.S. government was like, hey, Zuckerberg, what's going on? Like, what happened to all these elections with the Russians hacking and now all people's information is being mined? Like, how are you protecting people's information? So we need to, like, do some inquiries and talk with you about that. So he literally had to sit for a cool 4 hours and answer question after question about how Facebook works, what they're doing to protect the users. And it was a really interesting conversation. And it was quite entertaining. For those of you that know Zuckerberg, his personality is pretty stiff. And just seeing him kind of navigate through, you know, the barrage of questions. But he held strong. He hit a lot of great points, clarified a lot of things, and it was a really interesting experience, especially in the time that we are where social media platforms kind of rule the land. One of the things that they covered during the hearing was if Zuckerberg he thought that Facebook was a monopoly. They asked him a question, I believe, who is your biggest competitor? And Zuckerberg said, I really don't have one. Which is pretty funny. And so they were saying, the Senate was saying, well, they were pretty much arguing, well, you're like a monopoly. You're a massive power. If you don't have any competition, like that means that it could lead to an abuse of power. And so he had to dispel that by saying that, hey, that Facebook is for the people. It'll always be a free service. The way that he has generated wealth from the platform is through ads. But Facebook, in his opinion, will always be free. And so the Senate was asking, well, what would a paid Facebook look like? And that was kind of his response that, nah, that's not something I'm trying to do, but he wouldn't rule it out. So then they went on to ask him, well, how are you going to, you know, protect people from, you know, data mining and taking people's information? And so one of his suggestions, or one of the things that they're developing over at Facebook is using artificial intelligence, because an AI can quickly scan through and find keywords and find hate speech and other problematic posts way faster than, you know, like human moderation. And so he was saying that they're developing more AI technology that will be able to do that and flag if someone is saying something that's inappropriate or doing something that could be considered salacious. So yeah, they really hit him up with a lot of questions. And another one of the things that they were saying is that, and this is a big one, because I tend to believe that, and I had Ryan Hollins on the show maybe a couple of weeks ago, and he was telling a story about how he was on the phone talking to a friend, and literally after he finished his phone call with a friend, he saw an ad on Facebook targeted to him that was about his conversation that he was having on the phone with his friend. So the senators were asking Mark Zuckerberg, do they ad target based on listening in to your phone's microphone and listening into those conversations that you're having with people? And so his answer was, no, they don't. I don't know. I think the jury's out on that one, because it's a lot of weird scenarios and circumstances where people have said that as well to me, like, hey, like I'll be having a conversation with someone, and all of a sudden I'll see an ad that's like literally discussing or paralleling what we were discussing. And so he demystified, I guess, that urban legend that Facebook spies on our conversations and then uses ads to target us. So the funniest thing or the biggest takeaway for me about this story is that a lot of the U.S. senators really didn't understand how Facebook worked. And they were asking like really kind of like just basic questions about like, I think one of the questions was like, well, how do you, if it's not a paid platform, well, how do you make money? And Zuckerberg's answer was ads, clearly. And so it was kind of like an educational process, because I'm sure there's a lot of people within the country that really don't know how Facebook makes money. So Zuckerberg kind of walked us all through that, and just in terms of like how they take specific information from each user and how they then are able to use that to target for ads. But all in all, I thought it was a really interesting conversation. It felt a little testy at times, but hey, I think to have the oversight and to have the U.S. government kind of like knock on his door and be like, hey, what's up, man? This can't be happening. Like, you know, people toppling elections, people stealing, you know, users' information and using it for who knows what purpose. Like, your information is sensitive and personal and cannot be manipulated without you giving consent. Like, and if someone can easily steal almost 100 million users' information, that's a problem. So I love the fact that at least, you know, Zuckerberg was willing to come and pretty much lay it out for everybody. And I think it was really dope. Mercer, did you get a chance to peep it yet or no? Have you yet to see it?
I have not seen it yet, but I heard there were moments where it got more aware of what the audience should be doing, who uses Facebook, and
right.
Like, oh, those are really good thought-provoking questions. Like, how much is Facebook really gearing into our personal lives?
Exactly.
And without our actual, you know, consent.
For sure.
Yeah, it is scary, and I think it's good that the Senate is asking all these questions that the regular general population are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, yeah, if you have some time, I would encourage you to watch it. I think it's pretty interesting. It's pretty fascinating. Well, moving on. Let's move on to this Apple story, which I think we've covered before on the show. Apple was ordered to pay a patent troll company more than $500 million in an iMessaging case. And so this company by the name of VerNetX was battling Apple for 8 years. And essentially, they're saying that they had filed a patent that clearly spoke of the concept of FaceTime and iMessage, and that Apple went on to go steal that. And so there's a lot of controversy surrounding the story, because VerNetX is a company that is in the business of just making patents and, you know, waiting for big companies to come along and maybe discover it on their own and then be like, hey, actually, you didn't make that. We actually made that, and we're going to sue you. And so it's kind of like a hustle almost. It's like, okay, well, let's try to imagine anything that could happen in the future. We'll file a patent for it, and hopefully someone will come along and make it, and we'll wait for them to blow up, and then we'll sue them, and then we'll all be rich. Well, that's exactly what happened in this case. And last year, Apple was ordered to pay $440 million to the same company, but they appealed and were like, nah, we want a little bit more cash. And so they just got paid... they just got rewarded $502.6 million. Now, there's a lot of talk about these laws being changed in terms of what is a patent, what is intellectual property, what is worthy of a lawsuit, what is not worthy, because it's unfair to companies that, like, literally maybe they didn't have any inclination or any awareness behind this company developing a patent. Maybe they literally organically developed the idea and it was similar to what this company envisioned. And they go in and make it, and now all their hard work is now kind of like just taken away. And so a lot of people are saying it's a bit unfair and there needs to be more regulation or crackdown in terms of how intellectual property is regulated. And I think this is pretty interesting, but more interesting that a company would think like, hey, you know what? We're going to be in the business of creating ideas. We don't want to necessarily develop them and bring them to market, but we'll create the idea. We'll you know, submit the patent and we'll just wait. If it's 5 years, if it's 10 years, somebody might create it. And if they do, we're going to be rich because we're going to sue them. Interesting, interesting, interesting. Anywho, another story for Apple, which I think is dope. that they have announced the new red iPhone 8 and 8 Plus. And so I don't know if you guys all know about the product Red and you know, the organization that is responsible for the campaign to fight HIV and AIDS in Africa. But obviously they have partnered with Apple, and so they are dropping the Red phone, and it should be coming soon. I don't believe that the price has gone up. I think it's remained the same. It's about $700 for a 64 gig iPhone 8 and about $800 for the Plus. And you will be able to get them this week. Yeah, they come out this week, and they start shipping on Friday.
And it's for a good cause too.
And it's for a good cause, Marissa. That's right.
Yeah, the product Red has been out for years, and a lot of celebrities have endorsed Red for decades.
That's right.
And I'm glad Apple's getting on board with this too.
For sure. Yeah, I've worked with a few companies that have done collaborations with Red, Belvedere being one of them, and just the amount of awareness that they are raising, and also the resources that, you know, that we need to be able to combat HIV and AIDS in Africa, but not just in Africa, throughout the world. And I think it's good to, you know, have your favorite product, your favorite brand, align with something that is communal and something that has a strong degree of social responsibility. Because not only should companies be in the game of just making money, but they should also be in the game of making this world a better place. And that's just my opinion. But hey, applause to Apple. And yeah, if you guys haven't got the 8 or the 8 Plus, go get that red iPhone. Now, hey, Google Pixel, they have this new technology that they're going to be dropping. When you receive a call and it's clearly a spam call, instead of you having to, like, you know, keep letting it ring, they developed a technology that will immediately automatically send that spam call to voicemail, so it won't even have an opportunity to ring. So I think this is pretty cool, because I mean, we live in an era where you'll get that random phone call from some company trying to sell you something, or from someone trying to do something, and so the app flags the number. And it lights up bright red on your screen when one comes in, and then, hey, there's like a spam filtering that's set up, and then it sends it directly to voicemail. I think that's pretty cool.
Brilliant. How come we haven't had this sooner?
Thank you. I know, right? So yeah, Google is bringing that to market. And yeah, if you have a Pixel, a Nexus, or any Android device, you will definitely be able to utilize that feature on your phone. And yeah, if you are an Android user that doesn't have that device, you have to install it manually through the Play Store. But I think that's a very cool app and functional app that will save a lot of headaches and turmoil from people that are hit with the barrage of spam calls.
Do you think Apple will eventually get on this board? On this ship?
Probably, and that's what Apple does. Apple is the company, and it's kind of funny, because we just talked about, like, trolling companies that develop technology, and then too, what Apple does though is, like, hey, they'll wait for another company to bring something to market. They'll look at them like, okay, that sounds good, and then they'll go and develop a better version of that. So I think it's a fine line. It's like, in a way, some might argue that that's kind of theft. You took my idea and made it better. Some might argue that it's advancing technology. But to answer your question, I think that Apple will have some form of app that does exactly this. But I'll argue that it'll probably be better, because that's what Apple does. Next story, which I think is very cool. Uber is saying they're going to start developing, within the app, bike rental cars and public transportation that's going to, like, do more than just you hopping in an Uber and taking you from point A to B. So they have partnered with a company where you're able to literally rent a bike for the day, for an hour. And I think that's cool. And you're able to do it from the app. Within the app, it'll show you where the bikes are located. You can purchase the bike for your transportation through the app, hop on the bike, and then there'll be destination points or drop-off points throughout the city where you'll be able to leave the bike. And so what they're arguing is that in the future, there's going to be less of a dependency for people to have their own vehicle, and more of a dependency for people to have transportation provided for them, on-demand transportation in multiple forms. So if it's in the form of you like literally catching a car, a traditional Uber that we all know, or if it's a bicycle, or if it's you catching an Uber, then hopping on a subway station, and then there's another Uber waiting for you, and you've already designed that from one purchase. What Uber is trying to do is use all the information they've collected since I don't know how long, all those analytics to predict how cities move, how transportation moves within a city, and how they can better have better efficiency with how the city is moving. So if it's less traffic, less pollution, if it's less just all that stuff. Like they want to be able to carve out and map out, you know, the best way for you to get from point A to point B and back again. And so they're saying that, you know, they've always had this vision as a company to be able to expand into other parts of transportation. And so, yes, it did start with, you know, just car sharing, but it's going to expand further, like I said, into bike sharing and transit ticket sharing. So, like I said, imagine starting your journey in an Uber, then going onto a subway or a train, getting back into an Uber, and it's all done seamlessly on time. I think that's pretty cool.
I think it's cool. But via bike, do you think 1 hour is too short of a limit to use it? Because if your bike, it's more physical labor. You might, because you're depending on a physical movement compared to automatic, do you think the time limit should be longer for commuting?
Oh, I mean, I don't think there's a limit I don't think there's a limitation on how long you can have the bike. I think you just pay for it by the hour. Like, for instance, I was just in Portland. I was in Portland like 2 weeks ago, and Portland's a bike city. So they call it the bike town, and there's people always riding bikes. And so this would be a perfect like solution for a city like that, where, you know, there's more of a interest in the transportation choice being a bicycle. And so the fact that, hey, you're some part of the city where you need to get somewhere and it's like gridlock traffic, hop on that bike and you can get there way faster. So I think that's kind of like the thinking behind all of that. But the thing that's really, really interesting is that Uber has not made profit since it started as a company. It's not been profitable. Like, they are about $3.2 billion in the hole. And so I think the big reason for this is they're trying to find like new revenue streams to be able to like leverage and get their business growing, because right now like they are I mean, every year that debt is larger and larger and larger. And yes, they're expanding. Yes, they're getting more users, more adopters of the app, and having these other revenue streams I think will help. But man, like $3.2 billion in the hole, and they've never been profitable.
Let's see. And 2017 wasn't a good year for them either.
Exactly. I mean, we just covered the story like a month ago about the self-driving Uber that killed that woman in Arizona. Like, they've had a whole laundry list of bad press, from their CEO being ousted to, you know, there being like just discrimination and sexism within the ranks of Uber, to them being banned from the UK and France, like all sorts of stuff. It's just like Uber can't really get like a positive spin. So hopefully this is one that, you know, people can celebrate and applaud and actually use. Are you Uber or are you Lyft, Marissa?
I am Uber.
Okay,
you've always been an Uber.
Got you. It's super easy. I'm definitely a Uber guy as well. But yeah, I wonder if they can make that turn. We'll see. This story is pretty interesting. There's a group that is claiming that YouTube has illegally collected data from kids. Now, this is against the law, and they have said that YouTube has violated the Child Online Privacy Protection Act, or also known as COPPA. And so what that act says is that a company can collect data about kids under 13. However, it has to notify the parents and get their consent before collecting that information. And so what they are arguing is that Uber has not done that. And they have made substantial profits from collecting and using personal information from children. And it's illegal. And they're saying that it's tens and tens of millions of kids. And it's years and years upon doing this. And they're saying that each kid should be rewarded up to $41,000. They're saying there's about 23 million children that have been affected. Each child should have about $41,000. And they're saying that could add up to billions of dollars of payout. And YouTube has fired back and said, wait a minute, guys. We have not done that. We've actually applied the rules to our terms and conditions and our practices as a company. We have not broken the law. Protecting kids and families is a priority for us. And we can even figure out how to do it better. And so I wonder how this is going to play out. Like if there's going to be a lawsuit coming, if YouTube is going to have to pay this money, or if they're in the clear, and we'll see. I know they developed the platform YouTube Kids. I know that launched a few years ago. And as a way to kind of like separate the adult YouTube content from more child-friendly YouTube content, because clearly YouTube is not a place for kids. There's so much stuff that you can learn that is not kid-friendly. So they attempted to separate it, but I guess the argument is that in that separation, they still haven't gotten consent from parents to use that information to target kids. And so you're not allowed to target kids with keywords like kid, child, boy, girl, but you can do it with like toy or stuff that's more specific to playing. And so it's just a fine line. And I'm very interested to see how this plays out. But man, if they lose, we're talking about billions of dollars, people. Billions of dollars that they'll have to pay out. We're talking about 23 million children that will have to be paid up. I think that's pretty crazy.
Too many kids.
Right, exactly. Snapchat, Marissa, your favorite company, is going ahead and developing a second version of its glasses. Boo! I hate this.
This is horrible.
This is terrible. So I'm sure all of you know that Snapchat had developed hardware called the Spectacles, which were camera glasses that you were able to, operate, your Snapchat through. So augmented reality, certain things would come up as you're walking the streets. You're able to, take photos through your glasses, essentially use Snapchat with the glasses on your face. And they thought it was going to be a huge hit, and man, it tanked. It was terrible. The first version only sold about 150,000 pairs. And
I mean, look at them. They're butt ugly. Who's going to wear that?
Exactly.
It's not fashionable. Not whatsoever. At all. First of all, if you're going to put technology in glasses, make them at least good looking.
Sexy, right?
Yeah, or sleek.
Thank you.
Regular pair of glasses even look better than these.
Right. Well, hey, you and I and a whole bunch of other people, are in agreement about, these spectacles. They're not a spectacle. But Snapchat was forced to, take a $40 million write-down. They lost $40 million. And so even with all that, they want to do a round two. They say, hey, you know what? We're not done. We want a second version of these glasses. And you know what? It's going to be equipped with faster Wi-Fi, and you're able to do better things in these glasses. Like, I don't understand, why they didn't get it the first time. Like, I don't believe people will be interested in this. But the CEO of Snapchat, Evan Spiegel, says that Snapchat is a hardware company. They want to be a camera company. And so this is kind of like their first attempt, their first product to really break into that market where they're able to capture imagery through their own device versus having it limited to, a cell phone that they didn't create. So I get it. They want to be able to have the hardware and the software, and this is their attempt at doing that. So the first version of the spectacles cost about $130. Guess how much this version costs, Marissa?
$300.
Yes. Like, what the heck, dude? Like, you're making it more expensive than the first one that no one bought? Like, that doesn't even make sense. So not only did it fail, but you're going to come with round two and make it even more expensive.
I can't wait not buy this.
I don't get it. Like, it's just blowing my mind. But anyway, hey, we will cover this story again when they actually drop the glasses, and we'll see if it's more successful. But I am a betting man, and I don't believe that this is going to pop at all. Well, anyway, I'll tell you one thing that is popping, and that is the show that you all have to listen to, and that is Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition. It's hosted by our very own AfterBuzz TV founder, and it drops every Friday on iTunes. And I always tell people, if you want to have fun, you want to learn, and you want to grow in different areas of your life, well, this is the podcast for you. This podcast features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life. We're talking about health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and much, much more. Like, let Maria be the big sister you always wanted, and she's going to drop you that knowledge. She's going to give it to you straight up, and it's very helpful and useful, and you can apply that to your life. It's like almost having a mentor. So I tell you to go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos, and guess what, people? It is free. Free, free, free. Be sure to rate and comment when you do, and let Maria know that it was us, GNT, Black Hollywood Live, that sent you there. Once again, check out Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition. I highly, highly, highly recommend it. Now, this is so I don't know if a lot of you guys out there are interested in space, but I love space, space exploration. I believe that humans will be, you know, will be able to inhabit multiple planets. I just finished reading Elon Musk's book, kind of outlining how he, you know, came up with Tesla, SpaceX, and Solar City. And just seeing what he's done in the last 10 years with SpaceX is pretty amazing. But yeah, here's a story about this company. I think it's kind of funny. This company is saying that they want to build a luxury hotel 200 miles up in space. The company's name is Orion Span. And what they're offering is that if you put down an $80,000 deposit, you would be able in about 10 years to go up there and have an amazing experience in low orbit Earth. And the price tag is $792,000 a night. So you go up there for 12 nights and it comes out to be about $2 or $3 million. And so they're saying that you can bring 4 guests, and you'll be able to see 384 sunrises and sunsets as they race around the planet at incredibly high speeds. And so what they're trying to do is figure out how they're going to get there. And so they're a company that's waiting for, I guess, the technology to get a little cheaper to be able to blast people up there. And I think that's what, you know, Elon Musk and SpaceX has always tried to do. Like, hey, let's make the rockets cheaper so that we can be able to have, you know, an increase in how many people can go up and back. And so they're betting that by you know, 2021 at least, that they'll be able to have a station built and ready to, you know, be shipped off into low orbit space. And so I think it's kind of cool for the person that wants to have that experience. What they're saying is that it's not like a vacation. It's more so like you're getting an experience of an astronaut. They're going to give you training. You also have to operate things. There's a schedule. There's three months training before you could even go up. There's like a whole like regiment that you have to stick to. But this, what they're saying, that this is the future, is that, you know, there's going to be more and more companies that are tinkering in space tourism, because it's the last frontier in terms of, you know, what humans have been able to do in terms of the exploration. And so, yeah, having, you know, a habitat module that you can live in and rest in and have fun in, like, that's where it's at. So if you got the bread, you got the $2-3 million, hey, pony it up. Spend some time up in space.
I think that's pretty cool. First of all, it's only $80,000.
Only.
And then second of all, you don't know if you're still going to be alive in the next 10 years.
Thank you.
And let alone if you're even going to survive the trip up there.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a really cool concept, but obviously we are not there yet.
Nowhere near it.
But it's something to look forward to, I guess.
Definitely something to look forward to. And another thing to look forward to is Avengers Infinity War. It's coming soon. We're almost there. This year marks the 10th anniversary of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I believe Iron Man first dropped in 2008, and you know, the whole evolution of all these movies is leading up to Infinity War. And so what I'm hearing, and what I'm reading, is that Infinity War ticket pre-sales are outpacing the last 7 Marvel Cinematic Universe movies combined. And that is including Black Panther. So this movie seems to be hot and it's going to be like a record breaker. But if you are under a rock, Infinity War is about the evil tyrant Thanos. He launches an assault on Earth and he's trying to collect all 6 stones. So he puts the 6 stones in his Infinity Gauntlet and then he'll have this incredible power to like kill half the universe. And so, you know, all the superheroes are banding together to fight off Thanos. And so we're talking about Black Panther, Thor, Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, Captain America, the whole crew, guys, everybody, Ant-Man, Guardians of the Galaxy, everybody's in this movie. I don't know if you've seen the trailer, but if you haven't seen the trailer, go check it out. And speaking of records, you know, I always got to shout out Black Panther. I think last week the news was that it passed Titanic on the all-time domestic ranking list, which is huge. That Titanic was made, what, like the early 90s?
97.
Okay, mid-90s. So that's 20 years, and Black Panther just cracked that record. So I'm loving it. I'm loving it all. I can't wait to see Avengers Infinity War. I believe it hits the theater April 27th. Marissa, you going to go see this?
Yeah, of course.
Right now. For sure, for sure.
Because I don't live under a rock.
Indeed, indeed. All right, we're almost through. I got a couple more stories I want to blaze through. Fortnite, we covered this last week. This game is blowing up. And there's a lot of celebrities that are playing this game. The biggest celebrity that I know of that's getting a lot of news on this is Drake. So Drake plays Fortnite and he wanted to battle the popular streamer Tyler Ninja Blevins, who's like a crazy gamer. And so he said, you know what? I'll play you. And if you win, Ninja, I'll give you $5,000. Obviously, Ninja won. And Drake, you know, held his word and he wired him $5,000. And like, this story is interesting because it's like this game is like literally like it's burning up. Like people are just playing it like crazy. So much that it has even like a celebrity attachment to it. I think it's another big rapper that's playing this game. Now I'm drawing a blank. But anyway, I think it's dope that, you know, you have just everyone kind of like just invested and involved in playing the game, and you're able to like literally just shoot them up, bang bang. But I love it that Drake is so cavalier and so just like, hey, I'm a part of the people. I'm a player just like you. I love video games just like you, and so much to the fact that he's bringing more attention to it. So I think that's kind of cool.
You know, the whole AfterBuzz stuff here plays Fortnite, except for me. I'm not much of a gamer, but I know all the guys here do.
Oh wow, that's funny. That's crazy. I heard the Fortnite shout out in the background.
Yeah, the guys here love that game.
That's cool. That's super cool. Well, yeah, here's the last story of the day before we get out of here, good people. And this story is about Xbox. Microsoft is bringing 19 more original Xbox games to the Xbox One, including Star Wars classics. So some of the original games that are re-releasing are Blinks, Breakdown, Conquer, The Elder Scrolls, Hunter, Jade Empire, SSX3. And then you have some of the original Xbox games also releasing this month. Star Wars Battlefront 2, Star Wars Jedi Knight, Star Wars Jedi Starfighter, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, and Star Wars Republic Commando.
Yeah, Star Wars Battlefront and Star Wars Knights of the Republic I totally played when I was a kid.
That's what's up. So yeah,
teenager.
In about a week or two, you're able to get those games. And I think that's pretty cool to be able to have access to something that we all experienced, you know, when we were kids or younger, and yeah, be able to have the option that the backward compatibility to be able to play those games on your Xbox One. And so either you can put the original disc in, or you have to get a digital copy from the Microsoft Store. But it's a ton more games that I didn't list that you can actually access and have fun with. So I encourage all you guys out there, all you gamers, all you Xbox One lovers to like buckle in and like get to playing. There's a lot of great stuff in there. And that concludes our show for today. I appreciate all of you guys tuning in and listening to your boy. We will be back here next week, getting into some more crazy stories. But yeah, I appreciate all of you guys for tuning in and listening. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Akili Shine, AKILISHINE. Once again, this is Geek Nerd Tech, GNT, and we will see you next week. Y'all be safe out there.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.